Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Gregory Lay. Gregory writes and speaks to help people in the workplace develop and maintain productive, practical, and positive habits. He began his career in journalism and has a syndicated column called Heartily Working about strategies for improving relationships and getting the job done right at work. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Gregory.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be with you.
Well, just so that listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little bit about your personal journey to success in public speaking?
Well, I started realizing that there are a lot of big organizations that have their on-site trainers, and they get plenty of information. What's needed is somebody to work with the small and growing businesses that don't have their on-site trainers. So I have just become a voice for those businesses. And as much as I like the big stage and keynote addresses, I find a great deal of satisfaction in small training classes where I get to have real interaction with people. It's more of a discussion. In addition to my own training, and for the past 5 years, I've contracted with one of the national seminar providers because they have great marketing lists from coast to coast, and I get to travel and connect with a lot of people.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
Although I bet that can be tiring.
It can be. It's nice to have a week in between.
Yeah. So, do you believe that public speaking is a learned skill or something you are born being able to do?
Oh, I think it's unquestionably a learned skill. I'm part of the staff of World Champions Edge, which is a speaking coaching business. It includes 5 of the world's top speaking coaches, and I have literally watched hundreds of speakers going from barely competent to absolutely brilliant just by being willing to get up and make the mistakes and keep speaking. It's definitely something that you can learn and improve and keep developing.
You know, I think that's a key point right there, is being willing to make mistakes and improve from there. So, and I think that's what stops a lot of people.
Yeah, if you're afraid to make the mistake, you'll never get anything out.
And that's true in so many aspects of life.
Well, that's true, yeah. It would apply to any skill.
Imagine now that you are a public speaking superhero.
I've got my cape.
That's good. What do you believe would be your main superpowers?
Well, I've decided that my main superpower is an intuitive knowledge of what my audience members are feeling. I want to fly right past the superficial observations that I'm subject to. I look at someone's facial expression or their body language. I want to dig right to their deepest feelings. In other words, to know their pain and their doubt, so I can address those directly instead of dancing around with my assumptions about what I'd be feeling if I had that expression on my face.
And how do you go about developing that kind of superpower?
Just trying to be observant and mostly listen. I tend to want to be fooled when an audience member looks distant or bored, and instead I want to base my connection on what they actually tell me with their participation and their questions. One of the things that I do when I'm not being a superhero speaker is I waste energy on somebody who isn't even present in the room with me. Their body is there, but they're someplace else. I want to give my best effort to those who are participating, because I think the best invitation to any others who haven't yet made up their mind whether to participate.
I'm assuming from this that most of your presentations are highly interactive.
Yes, very much. If I can't get them to share their experiences, to ask questions, I have to go back to the beginning and try again, because if I'm just spouting a lot of information, I may as well mail it in. There's no point in all of us getting together in the same room.
Now, from what I've heard around, I guess, the grapevine, is that sometimes getting an audience to be interactive, because I've been in a few audiences where the interaction meant standing up and putting your arm on the next person, and I hate doing stuff like that. So I was wondering, since you have highly interactive presentations, what kind of advice would you give someone who wants to get that engagement going? What do you do that makes it successful for you?
be willing not to be the expert in the room. When somebody has a situation or a problem, yeah, sit there and make some notes to yourself about how you would solve it, but give the audience a chance to solve it first. Give the audience a chance to get involved, because people love being helpful. They would like to jump in with both feet and say, hey, here's how I'd solve that, here's what I did, and if the speaker's standing up at the front saying, well, I'm the expert, the others won't participate. But if the speaker sits back and says, you know, that's a pretty good question, what have you folks done with that, and gives other people a chance to participate, they soon have permission, and they'll all participate.
So you would suggest when you have an audience member ask the question, rather than actually spouting out what you would answer that question, you suggest that the audience provides the answer themselves.
Right. So we go back to, there's no one person here that has all the answers, but together we can solve anything. I admit that there have been times that I thought, well, gee whiz, I could have thought of that answer, but so what? It matters only that the answer got out there, not that I was the one that was clever enough to think of it.
Now, after sessions like this where you've actually had the audience answering questions, have you had any evidence that people still think you're the expert, or for some reason they think, well, why do we come? Because he had no answers. What's been your experience?
I have never had anybody think that, gee, I relied on the audience too much. They are much happier having been included. It's not walking away saying, Gregory said this or Gregory didn't say that. It's walking away saying, I've got some answers. I've got some ideas that I can apply. So being a facilitator is smarter than being an expert.
Okay. Well, if someone wanted to develop that interplay in their presentation, do you have any tips for helping to develop that skill?
Start with a list of relevant questions, things that if the show slows down, what can you ask? You've stood up and spouted information for an hour, you gave a keynote, and now it's question time. If you're smart, you're not going to rely on the audience to for sure ask the right questions. You're going to have a couple questions ready. Well, start your presentation with some questions ready. What do I think they might answer? How would I handle this? What will stimulate them to ask some questions? So start not with facts, but with seeds, with questions.
So sort of like putting a grain of sand inside of an oyster.
Yes, I like that. That's the way to get the pearl is plant the sand.
Well, thank you so much, Gregory, for sharing your unique expertise and insight with us today.
It's a delight. Thank you for inviting me.
You are very welcome. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on his picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.